Galatians 5, as we go back to our Fruit of the Spirit series. We're going to look today at an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that really is the, to me, the beautiful word describing God and describing what He does in people's lives. I love this one word. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5. And here we have the section on walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So we are talking about the opposite of the self-centered, depraved living. We're talking about what God does, which is really Christ in us, forming the reality of who Christ is. And what a wonderful thought that is. So you go down and you, of course, see the battle. You see the awful works of the flesh. And then we read the beautiful contrast in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This section begins with love. And remember, these different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, it's not the fruits of the Spirit. You pick one and not have the other. If you're walking in the Spirit, there is evidence of all of them. Now, do we grow in these? Yes, we do. There is more yieldedness, more understanding of truth, and so forth, and they become more predominant. But it's exciting that what you find in verses 22 and 23 can be evidenced in a simple, humble walk with God. Love is that opposite of the opposite of self. And folks, when you don't have self-dominating, you've got the joy. Because the only thing that's making you miserable is you. Sorry about that, but that's the truth. Nobody else either. It's just us. When we're focused on self and not walking in the Spirit, we don't have joy. And we certainly then don't have peace with God and the peace of God. And then that long-suffering comes because we are not all bound up with ourself. They all dovetail. And then this one called gentleness. The word is a hard word to describe. Gentle, good. In fact, it's translated goodness in other places. Not the same word, which will be the next virtue of goodness that we'll look at in our next time together on this. So it is a little bit different. I guess the best way to start off talking about this is have you ever been refreshed by just good Christians? They're the real deal. You know what I'm talking about? There's a graciousness. There is just something so high level about them that's divine. I think of certain families that I've known. I think of Brother Himes. You were from a family that did have gentleness, that goodness. And I remember thinking of the whole Rice clan when I first worked on this verse years and years ago. And there is just something about it. There's a breath of heaven. It's a changed atmosphere. I think of my sister Joy. She's with the Lord now. But she really grew in the Lord, and there was something, there was just a gracious, selfless goodness about Joy. She walked in, and if anybody was a little negative, it's all gone. Joy just lit up the room, and that was it. Everybody got spiritual. It was funny. Even my brother got, we would, that wasn't always the case with her, but that's how she ended. So that's a, we won't go into those stories, but I think of a man that you don't know. You've heard me talk about the man that by the time he left, he had led 7 men and discipled them so they were deacons at Market Manor before I left. I mean, that's pretty amazing. That is amazing. But, he'd walk in the room, and it was just not the same. When Brother David Pergel walked in, that was all. It was just badness went out, goodness came in. He just didn't know any better but to just love the Lord. This is the fruit of the Spirit. I'm just giving examples because it's very difficult to describe this. It's goodness, it's kindness, it's moral goodness, but we're going to talk about moral goodness in the next one. It's a sweetness which pervades and penetrates the whole nature. It mellows all that is hard, harsh and austere. It is kindness in its greatest form. It's God the Shepherd. Jesus, as you think of him caring about you, it's love and mercy and long-suffering and everything all wrapped up in just the sweetness and fragrance of life without self. It's the best way I can say it. It's so hard to describe. But you all have been around folks like that. You know, the good news is we all can be like that. We all ought to be like that. And, you know, it makes for wonderful families when you have the gracious sweetness of the Lord prevailing. You know, he really is a blessing when Jesus is around. You know, that's what happens. There's just a freshness and just a joy that comes with the goodness of God that is seen with people that are walking in the Spirit. Folks, that's what marks authentic Christianity. And that's what we desperately need. Harshness, austere, sternness of the wrong sort. Any of those things are the very opposite of this idea of gentleness. Now, next week we'll look at goodness, which is uprightness of heart and life. But this speaks more of love in action and the beauty of it. Some have described it as the personality we'll have when we get to heaven. Just the graciousness of the Lord. Do you know, I say this with all respect, God is a gentleman. He is the highest order of a person that is under full control, 100% caring for you, interested in you, and with all of the courtesy and appropriateness that you can think of the highest level actions known to mankind. You go way above that, that's God. Folks, he treats us right, okay? He's long-suffering. We should have been blown up a long time ago. Oh, yes. Oh, does he have the wrath against sin? He will judge sin. Hell is a terrible place. But our God is very gracious. It's the heavenly fragrance. It's the fragrance of Christ. It's like when you have some of the beautiful different flowers, especially up in the mountains, and all of a sudden they open up and there's just that beauty that comes out. That's what I think of when I think of just all of a sudden mankind in the image of God at its best. Just the beauty of it, the freedom of it. That's what we want. Now, as I've already alluded to, it's God's nature. Colossians 3:12 speaks of the kindness of God. That's this word, the gentleness of God. Romans 2, the riches of his goodness, gentleness. So this is God. God is not harsh. He is not vindictive. He's not hard. He's not unfeeling. He is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And so it's a wonderful thing. One of the terms about God, El Shaddai, gives you the idea of that mother's wonderful, just gracious, all-consuming love for her child. That's a wonderful picture of our God. Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I, God is speaking, comfort you. Having parents that exhibited most of the time gentleness, I have no hard time understanding this. It's just real obvious to me. I've always thought of God as gracious. I just had the right concept. And I've had the privilege of being around, as I gave a couple of examples, but I've been around really gentle, good, gracious Christians. Certainly affirming as a child to see that. Just such a sweetness. And every so often, as I think of old-time Christianity, I do get a little nostalgic. And some of you know what I'm talking about. It's just that even our culture had more grace to it. our culture was affected by real Christianity. There was more of a dignity with it. There was more of a courtesy involved, I can use that term, a caring spirit, because there was more real Christianity. And then among believers, I'm telling you, there's nothing like a gracious Christian. Now, the negative side is everybody's failure. Romans 3:12, there is none that doeth, here it is, good. No, not one. In every way, we're rebels, we're hard, we're vindictive, we are unfeeling, and we're not touched by the feelings of others' infirmities. We have a natural image of God, compassion that's there, but not the full willingness to identify with that. Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, as we know. So it is not natural. It is not natural. And so don't get upset with yourself when you see the negative traits, because that's the fruit of the flesh. And so that's why we want to be like Jesus. And so it is the gift that we have because of Christ. We can be partakers of his nature, and we can take upon him that gracious, wonderful character. And then I do want to mention Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. On Sunday, we had some messages that dealt with some of the sin that we can so easily get involved in and become callous to. Remember, God convicts most of the time not through some major negative judgment type thing. He is working and convicting, and he's gracious and loving in his dealing. Now, he does have to chasten. And I have seen this chastening hand in my own life, and I think all of us know that. But it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. I want to just say, if you were here Sunday, let's say Sunday night or whenever, and God, he touched you about, you know, that's right. You need to look at that. But then you pushed it off. What you're doing is you got a loving Savior, the Holy Spirit, representing him, is convincing you. And I tell you, conviction and his dealing is gracious. It's good. He doesn't hit you over the head. You got to. That's he maintains your will. You know, the key to a person who is really growing in the Lord is a person who hears the still small voice and responds. I mean, that may be one of the best practical definitions I know of. You read it, you do it. He speaks to you, you listen. If we ever have, folks, the worst thing in the world is to evaluate whether I will or not. If you can get rid of that, if it's yes, Lord, now the flesh does battle. I'm not saying we ever get past that, because the flesh is so much a part of us, will be till we die. But we need to be resolved to not see God's conviction as negative, but to say, all good, there it is again, Lord, thank you. How gracious you are to take time for me and show me. That's a wrong attitude. That's a dangerous thing you're doing. Why are you reading that? Why did you just waste 10 minutes with that habit of getting back on technology? Why did you do that? That wasn't profitable. Does he ever come on your heart about that? It's that sweet little voice. I shouldn't say little, but that gracious dealing that comes in, that gentle touch. I'm thankful I did not have parents that yelled at me. And I remember some of the most effective times was just the graciousness, son, from my dad. That we cannot have. That will really hurt you. We will not allow lying, for instance. He would not allow it. But he would do it in a deep way, but it was always about me and protecting my relationship with God. And you know what? You respond to that kind of thing. And that leads me to the matter of it's a mark of leadership. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6, Paul's credentials of an approved leader included long-suffering kindness, Holy Ghost love that was unfeigned. And folks, when we show any harshness or we react, I don't care how good what we're leading, whatever it is that we're endeavoring to lead and do, and it may be a fully righteous cause, you've lost the divine power for it. Now, there are times you cannot put up with sin when you are leading, let's say, in a family, but there still ought to be the fruit of the Spirit. There ought to be a gracious spirit about it. That child ought to be convinced, doesn't have a thing to do about the parental human reaction, has everything to do about the love of the parent for that child and their love for God. Now, that's a high order. That's a miracle. That's God's working through the power of His Spirit. It's how husbands and wives should treat one another. If you're an employer here, always gracious. You can be strong. You need to hold your employees to exactly what you know is right for them to be held to. But gracious. There ought to be a high level reaction on your part that your testimony of the wonderful Savior we have is never tarnished. In fact, as you're dealing with them, they have a higher view of your God, not a lesser. Employees, fellow employees, employers, bosses, different levels of management, grace, grace. Yeah, but you don't know what we're putting up with. You represent Jesus. A gracious, merciful, kind, high-level spirit is what God will have you to do. Students to teachers, teachers to students in ministry. You know, this is where churches loses all sociological divisions. They go out the window when you're walking in the Spirit. Everyone has dignity. You see everybody through Christ's eyes. And you're able to treat with them with the highest of respect because you're filled with the Spirit, just the way it is. And there is a sweet graciousness. I can't tell you how exciting it is to me to hear from folks that come in very uneasy for whatever reason into a church like ours and then to tell me later, I can't believe just how wonderfully loved and accepted I was. Just in the recent days, we've had some people say, I walked into the building and just felt the love of Christ the minute I got in here. Boy, that's exciting. We certainly would like to ramp that up, but praise the Lord. And I do watch I watch the graciousness of so many of you. I think that was the testimony, wasn't it, of Brother Steckman a few Wednesday nights ago, always out there endeavoring to be a blessing to someone. That's the heart of Jesus. That's that gracing someone is so important, and that's why we remember him with such fondness, because we had that. There was that gentleman's high-level spiritual touch. And again, he wasn't perfect, but he had a perfect Christ, and thankfully I saw him in that man an awful lot and was touched by it, and we all were. So we need to realize a consistent graciousness, kindness needs to mark our life, not harshness, not irritation, not selfishness. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness of God. We are to put that on. That's what we are. We're the new man. We're created with that. We're to be clothed by the power of the Spirit. And what we wear in our personality and in our demeanor to other people needs to be that graciousness. Remember, as Ephesians 1 says, we are in the heavenlies, if we are walking with God. We can have a taste of the heavenlies. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ and even of a family that's walking with God. Their heaven will not be that strange to churches that have tasted revival and the blessings of God. What draws us here is just there is that sweetness that comes from heaven if we're at all walking with the Lord. So I hope I've been able to get that across. It is just, it's to me one of the jewels, those jewel words that just is packed with meaning. The fruit of the Spirit is love, that's powerful. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, the graciousness of a loving God. Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? May God enable us to show forth the real God that we have. And let me just say, if you walk with him, you know that to be true about him, don't you? Isn't that wonderful when you think of God? Well, may people that don't know him know about that by our lives being filled with the Spirit. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. These are sort of specific areas that do reveal how much we're walking in the Spirit. And tonight, maybe there's some here as believers, you'd say, you know, Pastor, I want to become, even though I know if I'm walking in the Spirit, that'll be part of my life, I want that to dominate my life. I want that kindness, that goodness, that graciousness, that high-level touch from heaven really to become more and more a part of my life. I want to be that kind of person when I walk up to folks that they just are encouraged about who our God is. And the Lord has just touched my heart about the times I let down. And I see when I get rough, when I get a little tough, when I get a little bit harsh, or I just get a little bit cold, that's not the Lord. And I need to just let that be an alarm bell and wake right back up to the fact I need to walk in the Spirit. So God has dealt with me about that. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up if the Lord has specifically touched your heart that way? Well, God bless you. Amen. Lord, I do pray you'll work in these hearts. We are burdened, all of us, that the ugliness of the flesh is what hurts children, what hurts the cause of Christ, and takes away from the beauty of holiness. And Lord, we're so thankful that we have the power within us to live that way. There's not a person here that doesn't want to be that kind of person. But Lord, I pray that we'll see how sin is and our disobedience and our wrong priorities hold back your Spirit from giving us these wonderful parts of the fruit of the Spirit. And so, Lord, I do pray you'll awaken each one, especially those that raise a hand. They've listened to your gentle voice tonight. And Lord, would you just empower them to see, to have wisdom, to understand their own heart. And Lord, would you give them definite victory now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.